important question. Who am I in Christ? Think about that. Our life is so full of things. We got short-term memories. We don't see beyond tomorrow or this life. But yet, who I am in Christ is applicable for today. 2 weeks ago, we spoke about adoption. Kevin, can we stop this hum behind me? If you can mute it somewhere. If not, we'll get through that. 2 weeks ago, we looked at the privileges of being adopted into the family of God. What a privilege to be called a child of the living God. And then, of course, last week, can you recall? Come on now, we spoke about the short-term memory. What was last week? Will you also go away? In other words, what will it take for you to turn your back on Christ? What will it take? We went through, thanks Kevin, I don't know, it's somehow much of it. I think it's the base. What will it take for you and I to turn our back on Christ? Remember the story of last week, Jesus was teaching and there was a crowd of people and then eventually they started leaving one after the other. I gave you four reasons why the people left. And he turned to his disciples after hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people started just walking away while he was teaching. And he turned to his disciples and he said, will you also go away? And of course, Peter said, come on. To who do we go? Where do we go? So it proved the point that every person seems to have a chance in their life to turn away. Where would I go? And then, of course, during that conversation, I referenced several statements of Jesus. And the statements were, I am. Jesus had spoken to a lot of people, got into the boat, or the disciples got into the boat. They were going over the Lake of Galilee, but Jesus was not there. And then all of a sudden, halfway past the Lake of Galilee, Jesus came walking on the water. And that's where we're going to catch up concerning John 6:19-21. However, amplified version, when they rowed 3 or 4 miles, they saw Jesus walking on the sea. Once again, what an experience. You're on the boat, there's nobody on this lake, and there you see a person come walking on the water. Now, you and I can't imagine this kind of thing because we know that if you walk on the water, naturally what happens? Oh, you've tried that, obviously. I don't have to try it. I just get in the water and I sink. They saw Jesus walking on the sea, the Lake of Galilee, and approaching the boat. And what was the natural response? Who would not be terrified? The last time you saw Jesus was on the shore. Now he's walking on the water. They were terrified, but Jesus said to them, it is I. But the amplified translation goes a little bit further and he says, be not afraid. What do you notice? I am. Only Jesus could make that claim. Nobody else in the world can make that claim. I am. And he's saying to the people, I am. Stop being frightened. Then they, look at this, were quite willing and glad for him to come into the boat. Why were they willing for him to come into the boat? They recognized his voice. They knew who he was. And now the boat, and this is where, for the first time, as I said last week, the first time in history, a boat broke the sound barrier. And now the boat went at once to the land they had what? Steered toward. And immediately, no more rowing, they're halfway. Once Jesus got into the boat, the sound barrier broke and the boat took off. And immediately they reached the shore toward which they had been. Notice how he emphasizes this. How they had been slowly making their way. So when Jesus comes into your life, he speeds it up. As he sped up the boat, when he got into the boat. So we find that Jesus said to them, I am. And those were the references that we looked at briefly last week, and I'm going to quote them again today. Exodus 3:14. God introduces himself to Moses, I am who I am. In John 14, verse 6, Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, the life. Old Testament, New Testament. So he's equating himself as God, but he is God by saying, I am. So notice that, guys. And then John 11, 25, Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet he shall live. John 10, 7, Jesus says, I am the door of the sheep. John 6, 35, Jesus says, I am the bread of life. What are you getting from this? I am. In other words, not I was. I am. Yesterday, today, and forever, he's the same. John 8, 58, and this was the important one. Jesus answered, I tell you the truth. Before Abraham was even born, I am. So your faith in Christ is so important. And since you became a born-again Christian, if you're not, I would urge you to become a born-again Christian because your life changes. And we find that now this conversation goes further. And he says, before Abraham was, I am. If Jesus had merely wanted to say he existed before Abraham's time, he would have said, before Abraham, I was. That I actually existed before him. But no, no, no. Way before Abraham even existed, way before any human being even existed, he said, I am, which means Jesus existed eternally. He has no beginning, he has no end. Now for you and I in this natural body, it's very difficult to comprehend this kind of stuff. That there's somebody that was never created, somebody that was never born, but somebody that has always been. How does your mind understand that? It can't. And that's why we go by faith. And regardless of the attacks on Christianity worldwide, I want you to know Christianity with Jesus Christ in the center is the only way, because Jesus says, I am the truth. I am the life. So we look for life. Where can I find life? Oh, if only I can become Elon's son. I've got life and money. No, 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 no. In Christ, I have everything. And then we're going to see what this means for you and me in Jesus Christ. So Jesus existed eternally. Now, who are we in Christ? And we've got to understand this. Regardless of the skeptics out there, regardless of people may say about the Word of God, and the Word of God is outdated, and Jesus is old-fashioned, and Jesus is irrelevant, I want you to know the Bible says his Word never gets old. It's the only guide in life. And I notice the attacks on churches when they take a stance, a biblical stance. And somehow, within the understanding of the non-believer, they want us all to comply to their wishful thinking, but yet you and I can't take a stance, because the day you and I take a stance according to the biblical side of it, we get called lunatics. Radicals? But what other guide do I have? Give me another guide that I can go by. There is no other guide but the Word of God. So you want to tell me that you're going to go with the Word of God regardless of what the majority of the people want? Absolutely. Absolutely. I mentioned that last week. And I'll mention it again today. And it's not because I've got a problem with the individual, I've got a problem with the lifestyle. There is no ways I'm going to have extra bathrooms for everybody. I'm not going to have a tree for a dog. I'm not going to have a kitty litter. I'm not going to have another bathroom for whoever they want to identify. We're going to have a bathroom for those who are biological males and biological females. And if you're in between, you're going to find out where you want to go. Because this thing of self-identification is unbiblical, friends. It's not a godly concept. So you want to preach this hatred? It's not hatred. It's the word of God. Do you still believe in God? Well, give me an alternative. Well, there is no God. That's called April Fool's Day. But who am I in Christ? Firstly, it is good for you and I to understand whether we like it or not, or whether we agree on it or not, there are only two kingdoms. You and I may not identify with that. We may not relate to that. But from perspective of the word of God, there are only two kingdoms. The kingdom of darkness and the kingdom of light. There's nothing in between. Within the kingdom of darkness, it's ruled by Satan. Well, I don't believe in Satan. Well, that's not his problem. That's your problem. So the kingdom of darkness is an eternal kingdom. What do you mean eternal? It's going to be there forever, but in a different form later on, in bondage. And then you have the kingdom of light, who is governed by Jesus Christ himself. And that eternal kingdom, the kingdom of light, will eventually conquer everything in the new world order, whenever that's going to happen. So the kingdom of light is governed by Jesus. And here's the sad thing, folks. You and I am born into the kingdom of darkness. As much as I want to disagree with that, we are born, when we are born and mom gives birth to us, we are born into the kingdom of darkness. Throughout our life, we have an opportunity to go from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light. Now, it's possible we can be skeptical. It's possible we may not fully comprehend this stuff. But that's why the Bible is there, to inform us, to educate us, to train us. So don't throw the Bible away. Oh, I remember my grandma had a Bible. She never read it much, but she had a Bible. Well, forget about grandma. Get to the Bible. The Bible is essential. The Bible is necessary. It's not outdated. So we're born into the kingdom of darkness, and throughout life we have a choice to enter into the kingdom of light. Remember last week, we showed you how broad is the kingdom to light, the highway. The Bible says narrow is the highway to the kingdom of light. Broad, the Bible uses another term, broad is the highway to hell. Remember, we're all born into darkness, but we have an opportunity to get an off-ramp. But many people don't want the off-ramp. They prefer the highway. But the Bible says, wide is this highway that goes to hell. Wide and narrow is the highway that goes to the kingdom of light. How do I then get onto this exit? How can I get out of the kingdom of darkness? If I'm born into the kingdom of darkness, how do I get out of this kingdom of darkness? Well, once again, we've got to go to the Bible. We can't go to philosophers. We can't go to theologians. We've got to go to the author of the book, the Bible, called Jesus Christ, inspired by the Holy Spirit. So what does it mean? I can get out of this kingdom of darkness. Well, the Bible calls it, you've got to be born again. And that is found in John chapter 3, verses 5, 6, 7. Just giving you this little lesson on how we can exit the kingdom of darkness. Jesus replied, I assure you, so that you can understand, I can understand that we are born into this world into darkness. But something has to happen while you're on this highway to hell. Jesus replied, I assure you, no one can enter the kingdom of God. Now we find the kingdom of God, the kingdom of light. How do we get to this kingdom? No one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and spirit. Water, spirit. Natural birth, some say baptism. Let's go natural birth, the water breaks. Humans can only produce what? I thought they can produce aliens. Maybe they're on steroids. Humans only produce what? Human life. Mothers, you're going to become pregnant. What are you going to produce? God have mercy. Let's trust it's only a baby. But the Holy Spirit does what? Gives birth to spiritual life. So what do we have here? Natural life. Spiritual life. We are all born into this world naturally. Natural life. Somewhere in our life on this face, on the face of this earth, we've got to have spiritual life. And that's why he says, so don't be surprised when I say to you, what? You must be born again. That was the main conversation with Jesus and Nicodemus. Jesus was transferring or sharing with him about this experience. And that's why Nicodemus says, man, I'm an old man. I'm an adult. How do I get back into my mother's womb and go become a child of God? He said, no, you can't do that. Because humans give birth to humans. You've got to be born again from the Spirit, from above. So you must be born again. Okay? So now I can exit this kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of life through being born again. And then the Bible explains something to us in Colossians 1, 13 and 14. New Living Translation onwards. New Living Translation is all the scriptures I'm referring to. For he has rescued. Understand this concept now. He has rescued us from where? So we only have two kingdoms, correct? We only have two kingdoms. The kingdom of darkness and the kingdom of... Come on, let's do a survey quickly. How many people would you think, if you talk to outside of this building, that believes in the kingdom of darkness? They've never heard of it. They've never heard of it. Let go and live merry and eat because somewhere we're going to die. People don't understand. And if you and I could just bring this message across, I'm not condemning anybody. I'm informing people. There is darkness and there is light. We are born into darkness, but we don't have to die in darkness. We can die in light. Understand that we're not trying to ram religion down your throat. We're not trying to tell you, you've got to stop this, stop that, find Jesus and everything else stops and you start living. And he says, he has rescued us from the kingdom of darkness. And what has he done? This is the born again experience. When you say, Jesus, I'm a sinner, come into my life, please forgive me of my sins, you become born again. And the Bible says you rescued from the kingdom of darkness and did what? Transferred us into the what? Kingdom of darkness, kingdom of light. Has transferred us into the kingdom of his dear son. So how did he do this? Who purchased our freedom and forgave our sins. That's a mouthful, guys. Do we understand the fullness of this? No. Do we recognize the impact of all this? No. But we've got to live by faith. We've got to believe this. We have been purchased. If I have been purchased, who do I belong to then? Well, to the one that purchased me, right? So how many of you have been purchased? Yeah, we've been purchased. How many of you are still up for sale? No? Put a sticker up, you're sold. I've been purchased. I'm sold, man. I'm not up for purchasing anymore. I've been bought. Who purchased our freedom and forgave us our sins. So that being said, who am I in Christ? Now that he's purchased me, we saw some of it 2 weeks ago. I've been adopted into the family of God. I'm going to give you a number of scriptures. Just take your pictures and put it on Facebook. God has a lot to say about how he sees us. Now that we've been purchased, now that we've been bought, now that we've been transferred out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light, how does he see us? How does he perceive us? What are we like in his sight? Oh, we got a number of scriptures. And to understand the fullness of what I'm sharing with you this morning, to understand the scriptures and for the scriptures to unfold in your mind, my spirit, your spirit, we've got to continuously renew our minds. Because our minds are dictated by what we see, what we feel, what we hear. But we've got to change our minds by the concept of the Word of God. Because the Word of God is so irrelevant in people's lives today that it hardly gets read. We must begin with the renewing of our minds in Romans chapter 12, verse 2. Do not conform yourselves to the standards of this world. Whoa! Give me another phrase. Standards of this world. Do not conform yourself to the standards of the kingdom of darkness. But let God transform you. Let God transform you inwardly by a complete change of your what? Whoa. What does this mean? My mind can have an impact on what's inside of me? Yeah. Because most things happen with the mind. All things happen with the mind. Well, a lot with the five senses. I don't know about you. But sometimes my nose dictates where I should go before my mind tells me to go. Like I can walk and I'm hungry and all of a sudden I smell this whiff and this whiff. Man, that smells like steak to me. And automatically my mind says, you got to go there. And my body willingly submits and says, yes, I do. Oh. And then they have Pepsi, and then I walk out to go find a place that serves Coke. A complete change of your mind. So I've got to have my mind thinking on the words of God and accepting the realities in the Word of God. So, what are some of those realities then this morning? Who am I in Christ? Not in the world of darkness, but in the realm of the Spirit, in the realm of the kingdom of light. Who am I? For those of you that are born again, who are you? I'm a Christian. Yeah, what does that entail? What does it mean? Well, something very, very important. Firstly, I'm accepted in Christ. Christ accepted me. Well, he bought me. And then I find this beautiful scripture, and I wish that you and I can understand the fullness of this in John 1, verse 12. People that have been translated from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. Look what it says. But to all who believed him. Notice the wording. Notice the progression. But to all who believed him. Is believing enough? When you communicate the gospel with people, when you communicate Jesus Christ with people, most times you will hear, I've got my faith. Most times you will hear, I believe. But is believing enough? I believe there's a God. Yeah, so what? I believe in electricity. If you don't believe in electricity, put your hands in the power source. That's the cheapest way to get an afro. But to all who believed, and what? So is believing enough? No. No. To all who believed him and accepted him. Jesus, I accept who you are. God, I accept who you are. Jesus, I realize you paid a price for me. I surrender my life to you and I ask you to forgive me my sins. And I want to be part of your kingdom. And then follow him. That's what it says. And accepted the gift, eternal life he gave to us. He then gave the right. The King James, O King James, gave the authority to be called children of God. Gave the authority to be called the children of God. New Living Translation. He gave the right to become children of God. So can I become a child of God just proclaiming I believe? If I can't become a child of God by proclaiming I believe, who am I? What am I? I'm a child of darkness. I'm a child of darkness. I'm still in this kingdom of darkness. But to get out of this kingdom of darkness, I've got to believe and accept Jesus Christ, going through the experience being born again. So I recognize now he's given me, now that I've made that transition, now that I've made that change by accepting Christ, he says, now I call you my child. Now how important is that? To hear, we've got to backtrack a little bit. Who is calling me his child? The question is, who is he that's calling me his child? We often say, this is my son, this is my daughter. Oh, this is my father, this is my mother. But now somebody is saying, this is my child. Who's the someone? Sure. Who's he? Who's he? He's calling me his son. He gives me the right to be called his son. You know what? I don't find Satan bragging about me, but I find the God that created everything bragging about me. Man, I love it. This is my son. Well, you don't know who he is. I live with him. Let's read that, by the way. This is my son. The God that created everything. If you believe there is no God and you believe in atheism, that's absolutely fine. It's not going to change the fact that God is real. I've been bought with a price and I belong to God. 1 Corinthians 6 verse 20. For God bought you. Please let your mind ponder on these things this morning. For God bought you. I didn't realize I was up for sale. But the scripture says God bought you with a high price. You see, we don't look beyond the now, but there are legalities in the spiritual realm. God doesn't operate like a dictator. Even if he says, I'll be a dictator just on day one. He doesn't operate that way. God is sovereign. And he operates with justice and in a just way. So there must have been something in the heavens that could be done to deliver these people that are in darkness. There's got to be a way, and the only way is for God to buy them. How did he do that? What was the price, right? Were we up for auction? I've got 10, I've got 100, I've got 1 million, I've got 10 million. Who wants to give me 5 million? Were we up for auction? No, there was a price. And the Bible says that price was the precious blood of Jesus Christ. God himself became man and gave his life for you and for me. A price was paid that man could not pay because man was in bondage. But God himself, the Bible says, he took upon himself the form of man. He went to the cross. He bled. He died. But on the third day, he rose from the dead. And then whoever will believe in him will not perish but have eternal life. Wow, man. This blows my mind. So God bought you with a high price. Now here it comes, guys. So now that he bought you, who do you belong to? I've got to belong to him. But how do I show that I belong to him? And there we go. So you must do what? Honor God with what? This body. Why? Well, he owns it. See, how do we live? Like, is it my body? Is it his body? Whose body is it? Or do we enter into this phase? This is my body. You don't tell me what to do with my body. And those people that make that kind of claim, they're very peculiar in a sense. Because other places, they don't say, this is my body. But when it comes to abortion, this is my body. So you must honor God with your body. Okay? I've been bought with a price. I belong to God. Here comes something that, once again, how do we digest this? How do we comprehend this? In Colossians 2, verse 13, you were dead. So how many living corpses do we have? See what I'm saying? You were dead. Is he speaking about spiritual or physical? Spiritual. So do you understand this? Do you agree with me that if you are born into the kingdom of darkness, which we have been, we are actually dead, but yet we're alive? Yeah. Physically, we're alive. Spiritually, we're dead. So how do I become spiritually alive? By being born again. And this is what he says. You were dead because of your sins. Which ones? The white ones or the black ones? And because your sinful nature, which you and I were born with, was not yet cut away, then God did what? He turned us from mere existence to a life of living. Because Jesus, how do I find life? Is life a thing or is life a person? Life is a person. Jesus is life. And whoever is in Christ has life. Not alive, he's got life. Look at this, guys. Then God made you alive with Christ. What did he do? He forgave all our sins. Isn't that beautiful? He forgave all our sins, that sinful nature. Knowing this has happened, knowing that I have been translated out of darkness into light, notice now something very beautiful. We find in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 18 and 19, and all of this, what? What's all of this? This whole stuff about being born again. And all of this is a gift from God, who brought us back to himself. So we were alienated. He brought us back to himself through Christ. And God has given us the task of doing what? Oh, keep your religion to yourself. There's no place for religion in this workplace. Oh, shut your face. God has given me a task, so who must I listen to? The management or God? God has given us the task of doing what? Now that we belong to him, what is our responsibility? Share the gospel. Share what you have found. You found life. Don't you think it's rather stingy and mingy of you if you find life and you don't want to share it with anybody else. You found a solution to cancer, but you don't want to share it with the world. But you found life and now you don't want to share it with anybody. It's ridiculous. And God has given us, here we are, us, the task of reconciling people to him. Look at verse 19. So beautiful. For God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, no longer counting people's sins against them. And he gave us this wonderful message of reconciliation. I've been thinking about this. Is it possible for a Democrat to be reconciled to a Republican? What's your answer? Is it possible for a Republican and Democrat to be reconciled with the independent? Of course, in Christ we are one. Remember what I said before with the election? Don't let politics be your life. Christ is your life, man. Don't get over it. You don't have to go stand on the shore and scream and blah, 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 blah. You don't have to shout into a pillow. Something happened. Somebody lost. Somebody won. Let's go on serving the Lord Jesus Christ. That's all that matters. And he gave us this wonderful message of reconciliation. And then this is one I quote a lot because it's so applicable to every single one of us this morning that are in Christ in 2 Corinthians 5 verse 17. This means that anyone who belongs, wait, who belongs to Christ. I thought when I'm born I belong to God. No, you belong to the kingdom of darkness. And then through new birth you become a child of God. This means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become what? A new person. New ideology. New way of thinking. New way behavior. New way of behaving. But yet we have the critics that say when you go wrong, I thought you were a Christian. Yeah, I am, but I screwed up. Notice the old life is gone. A new life has begun. That transformation is amazing. Because now we take on the nature of God. Now we take on the likeness of God. Now what means something to God means something to me. Because I'm no longer my own. I belong to him. I'm under new management. I'm under in a new kingdom. And now I'm a new creation. The old is gone. So that means I'm accepted in Christ. Somebody accepted me. Doesn't it feel good to be accepted? Or would you rather be rejected? Some people think they are rejects. But God makes no rejects. So we find I'm accepted in Christ. And then as I progress through this whole thing with Scripture, I'm recognized afresh in my life. I'm not only accepted in Christ, I'm also secure. How many of us want security? Oh, they're speaking about a secure border. They secure everything, man. But what about I'm secure in Jesus Christ? Whoa, that is fantastic. In that, being secure in Christ means there's no condemnation. And folks, I want you to ask yourself these questions. Who am I in Christ? I've given you a whole lot of scriptures before. I'm going to give you a whole lot of scriptures now again. Who am I in Christ? I'm accepted in Christ. I'm secure in Christ. But there are some benefits with this. I don't know about you, but you don't want to invest in something where there are no returns. Invest in Christ and the benefits are out of this world. Romans 8:1. Read it together with me, please. So now, there is what? No condemnation for those. Okay, let's flip it. You don't belong to Jesus. There's condemnation. There's separation. But you say, I don't feel it. You don't have to feel it. Because we're not operating by feelings. We're operating by facts. And there's going to come a time, unless you belong to Jesus, you're going to hear words you never want to hear. Depart from me, I do not know you. But here, in Christ, so now there is no condemnation for those who belong to Christ. In other words, I am free. How does that feel? Is the burden lifted? Oh, there's that old song. Come on, old timers. Burdens are lifted at Calvary. When you accepted Christ, the burdens are lifted. Oh, yes, some more stuff. We become so isolated. I never ever thought in my life that my thumbs can get so much exercise. Did you think it? Did you think it? That your thumbs can get so much exercise on a phone or a tablet. I mean, I think that the exercise the thumbs are getting is actually more than the tongue is getting. But notice this. Hebrews 13:5, another beautiful, beautiful passage as to I'm secure in Christ. Don't love money. Why not? The love of money is the root of all evil. Not money, the love of money. Be satisfied with what you have. Turn to somebody and say, you know what, I'm satisfied. Yeah, I'm satisfied. Oh, I want, shut the face. I want. Now you want nothing. I'm satisfied. Be satisfied with what you have. For God, here comes the promise, guys. Here comes the beautiful promise. In an age where people are becoming isolated, in an age where people can't converse eyeball to eyeball, where they can sit in one room and text the other one in the room next door, social skills are going out the back door. Respect is going out the back door. There's no more conversation. But this is a beautiful thing that God says. For God has said, I will never fail you. We're speaking about secure in Christ. I will never fail you. Secondly, I will never abandon you. How many of you, don't raise your hands. How many of you have been abandoned before? In relationships, you've been abandoned. You've been abandoned, you've been hurt by somebody you trusted. Now, in Christ, guys, in Christ, he says, I will never abandon you. Can he lie? No. Through your darkest days, he's with you. Through your deepest valleys, he's with you. Through the heartache you've never experienced before, he's with you. I will never abandon you. And that's why I set out with a scripture to have our minds renewed. And we've got to remind ourselves of these scriptures over and over. Now that I've been taken out of the kingdom of darkness and I'm in the kingdom of light, somebody is mad. Now, I'm not talking about your family now. Because many a child has been abandoned by their family because they follow Jesus Christ. I'm talking about the previous owner called the devil. He's mad. Can I help you this morning? That's his problem, not your problem. You're a child of God. He can get as mad as he wants to. I'm not going to tie myself up with his madness. I'm going to tie myself up with his joy. Not the political joy, the joy in Jesus Christ. And this is what I find, that now that I'm a child of God, something beautiful in 1 Corinthians, no, James 4:7. Sorry, was it James 4:7? I don't know which one I am now. Let's go to Corinthians 15:57. But thank God he gives us what? Victory over sin and death through Christ Jesus our Lord. Nicole, have I got James 4:7 or not? I think one just before that. No? Okay. Notice 1 John 5:4. For every child of God, okay, let's pause for a moment. Let's do basics. We started off with the kingdom of darkness and the kingdom of light. For every child of God defeats the evil world. Child of God, child of light, defeats the evil world, darkness. How do we defeat it? How do we get this victory? We achieve this victory through our faith. Our faith in who? The one that rose from the dead on the third day, Jesus Christ. He conquered death. He conquered evil. And now you and I can conquer through the same strength that he gives you and me. So I'm secure in Christ. Try and wrap this up. It's got 15 minutes. I'm accepted in Christ. I'm secure in Christ. And now we're going to use a word that many people don't like to use, but I'm going to use it in any case. I'm significant in Christ. In other words, I'm not a loser. I'm not a reject. I'm not an outcast. I'm significant in Christ and in Christ's eyes. And the fact is, you can't love somebody, you can't love your neighbor until you love yourself. That's not mirror, mirror on the wall, who's the fairest of us all. I'm significant in Christ because I've taken on the nature of Christ. And that's why the Bible says, love your neighbor as you love yourself. You got no self-love. What have you got? In Christ, you got no self-love. You got no love at all. But in Christ, I've got to see who I am. I was a nobody, but now I'm a somebody. Because there's nobody that's got the same thumb as you. You're unique. I'm a somebody. How significant am I? Well, it depends who you ask. You can ask your wife and you'll get a different answer. You can ask your husband, you'll get a different answer. You can ask your parents, you'll get a different answer. How significant am I? Well, let's go to God. Now that he owns me, he puts some value on me and he tells me who I am. So I'm significant. To what extent? To what point? How value am I? Is there value in me? Oh, yes, there is. And we find that in Matthew 5, verse 13. And of course, we'll find the next one as well. Notice this. You are the what? Well, how important is salt? Oh, not good for your blood pressure. You are the salt. Is that significant? How significant? Does the earth need the salt? Does the kingdom of darkness need the salt? Oh, wait, look at this. You're the salt of the earth. You are the salt of the earth. So salt is important. There's significance in salt. But wait. But what good is salt if it has lost its flavor? Is it possible we can lose our flavor? Can you make it salty again? It will be thrown out and trampled underfoot as worthless. When you say one thing and you don't walk according to what you say, you become worthless. If you proclaim one thing and you don't live up to that what you proclaim, you become worthless. But yes, the significance. You are the salt of the earth. That's significance. Something else is very significant. Not only are we the salt, but the next verse, look what it says. You are the what? Oh, this is important. Because society has categorized us. Society wants to separate what we believe with what they believe. Society wants to form us into a mold that there's a place for everything. Even Christianity. You can't pray here. You can't read your Bible here. You can't speak about Christ here. You can't testify. Shut your face. I've got a responsibility. What is my responsibility? You are the light of the world. So what is my responsibility? I know within the present, the future, presidency and the future thought pattern is drill, baby, drill. From the Christian perspective, you are the light of the world. Shine, baby, shine. Like a city on a hilltop that cannot be. So is there a place and a time for my Christianity? No. I can't stop this. I get out my house, Christianity, I'm leaving you here. I'm going to work, and when I get back, I'll catch up with you again. No. I can't put it in a department or put it aside. Wherever I go, I'm a Christian. So that's why the Bible says you are the light of the world. Significant. Oh, but then we find something even of more significance in 1 Corinthians 12:27. All of you together are Christ's body. And here's the amazing part. And each of you is a part of it. Your natural body. How many parts are there? Many. Are they independent or they work together? Well, sometimes they work together. It depends. But we are all, those that are out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light, are all part of the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. And now we ask ourselves the question again, how significant is that? At the end of my life, at the end of your life, at the end of this world as we know it, something's going to happen and there's going to be a judge and somebody's the judge. God himself. And I'm part of this. And then I find something even more amazing. I'm not only part of the body of Christ, I'm also the bride of Christ. Not only am I a bride or the bride of Christ, I also have the understanding from the scripture that he's coming back for me. How significant is that now? He's coming back. He says, I've gone to prepare a place for you so that I can come back and take you where I am. So have you got a bright future or what? Your future is getting brighter and brighter and brighter because he's coming to take us to be with him forever and forever. But I also noticed something very special for me and for you this morning. Ephesians 3 verse 12. Because of Christ and our faith in him. So we find this in operation. Because of Christ, my faith in him. If I don't have faith in him, there's no benefits. We can now come boldly and confidently into whose presence? Could we have done that before? No. What's made the difference? The blood of Jesus Christ. We've been adopted into the family. Now, I don't know about you folks, but I think I've heard a lot of talk. And when I get to heaven one day, I'm going to ask God some questions. If I can give you advice, shut your face. Don't ask anything. Just say, I'm glad to be here. Thank you very much. I've been wanting to meet you in a long time. Thank you. You don't have to ask any questions because the Bible says you will know all things as you are fully known. So maybe that will just burst the bubble. Now we know in part, but one day we will know in full as we are fully known. So there won't be any necessary or need for any questions. When you see him, you don't have to ask any questions. Because of Christ and our faith in him, we can now come boldly and confidently into God's presence. I don't know about you, but that's a privilege. I don't have to make an appointment. I don't have to wait for the secretary to tell me, be seated, he'll be calling you in a few minutes. I don't have to go via somebody. I don't have to make an appointment and say, can I please talk to somebody? Nope. I've got access to him every single minute of the day. And not only that, I can call you my father. How about you? How about some bragging rights? How about some bragging rights as well? He's my father. Who's your father? Oh, he's the one that said, let there be light, and there was light. He's the one that made the sun, the stars, the moons. He not only made them, he called them by name. That's my father. Oh, you a lunatic. You bet, I know it. He's my father. I can approach him with freedom. 1 Thessalonians 5:5, we're going to start wrapping up. For you are all children of light and of the day. Oh, Paul. Paul elaborating. Remember how we started out? Two kingdoms. Kingdom of darkness. Kingdom of light. For you are all children of the light and of the day. We don't belong where? We don't belong to darkness. We don't. Sometimes they may seem like deeds of darkness, but we don't belong there. I want nothing to do with darkness. I was part of darkness. I want nothing. Darkness offered me nothing. Nothing. Darkness kills. Darkness destroys. Darkness steals. Darkness robs. Jesus is life. He's the giver of all life. I want life. I want light. I want nothing to do with darkness. But you know, we've got to make our family happy. No, no, not at the cost of your eternity. For you are all children of the light and of the day. We don't belong to darkness and night. And now I have a responsibility. That I'm no longer part of darkness. I'm in the kingdom of light. I have a responsibility. You have a responsibility. What in the world can that responsibility be? John 15 verse 16. You didn't choose me. I chose you. Thank you so much. I appointed you to go and do what? Not produce gossip. Not produce division. I've appointed you to go and produce lasting fruit, so that the Father will give you whatever you ask for using my name. So what fruit? Oh, you can go to Galatians 5 and see all the fruit there. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering. So we can see the fruit. But I've kept the best for last, because we're going to read it together. I'm somebody special. You think I'm somebody special? What do you think? Come on, let me, what's your opinion? You think I'm special? Well, some of you are honest. Are you special? You may have special needs. You got quiet. You got quiet. Remember, we're not talking about you in person now. We're speaking about you in the sight of God. All right? So if I ask you that question, without hesitation, are you special? If you're a child of God, you should all be shouting, yes! Yes, I'm special. You haven't even seen my specialities yet. Let's close. Ephesians 2:10. Love it. Come on, let's read it together. For we are what? You believe it? All right, turn to somebody and say, I'm God's masterpiece. All right, now point your finger to that person and say, you are God's masterpiece. I know you don't believe it. But say it. You are God's masterpiece. I don't believe it. Shut your face. come on, let's get real. For we. Who's we? Who's us? The people that have come out of the darkness into the light. For we are God's masterpiece. Isn't that beautiful? And I can really say, and you can really truly say, you ain't seen nothing yet. Because this masterpiece, in theory, is not complete. We are awaiting a new body. Oh, now you're really smoking it. Yeah, we're waiting a new body. the resurrection body. That's the completion of the price that Jesus paid. When we have received this new body that he's prepared. And this is what he says. For we are God's masterpiece. He has created us. When? Anew. In Christ Jesus. Remember that scripture way in the beginning. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Whoever is in Christ is a what? A new creation. Now we tie it in with this. He has created us anew. We made new in Christ Jesus. So we can do the good things. What about the bad things? No, we shouldn't be doing that. Because that's darkness. All of us want to live according to the light. So we can do the good things. What good things? The things that he has planned for us long ago. The family of God is something special, guys. Don't lend your ears out to all kinds of doctrines out there. Get into the Word of God. Let the mind be renewed and continuously remind yourselves of the scriptures we have gone through this morning. Who am I? Who am I? I'm a child of God. I'm accepted in Christ Jesus. I'm secure in Christ Jesus. I'm significant in Christ Jesus. Anybody lacking anything? Nope. You are complete and fulfilled in Jesus Christ. What a position to be in. I'm special. I'm significant. I'm accepted. I'm secure. Can I go through the world like this? Absolutely. Why? He made the promise. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Come, we pray.